Good morning. As we've already mentioned, we appreciate your presence and we're thankful that you're here. We have a number of our own who are out of town due to the summer. Summertime is a time where folks are traveling a lot, and if you're sitting in their place this morning, we're thankful that you are here and we appreciate your presence. We hope that our study this morning from God's Word will be helpful and beneficial to all of us. We're very familiar with the idea of giving and receiving recommendations. We might have to give a recommendation to somebody else, or we might want one ourselves. We might move into an area and we're not familiar with it, and we appreciate any recommendations. We like to get food and restaurant recommendations. Somebody goes out to eat and they have the best barbecue that they've had, and they come back and say, "You need to get over to such and such barbecue. It is great." Somebody watches a movie. Somebody hears a new song on the radio and they say, "Hey, you need to watch this movie. You need to listen to this song. You need to read this book." We like recommendations. We might give a recommendation for a particular doctor. We might give a recommendation for a particular restaurant. We might give a recommendation for a particular place to live in town if you're moving into the area. We might give a recommendation with regard to a particular business to go to, a gas station that has the cheapest price, and so on and so on. We're familiar with recommendations. And they're important to us. We like someone who has some experience and knowledge about a particular thing to give us a recommendation so that we can get the best of what we're looking for. The question that I raised this morning is, can you recommend your religion? You ever thought about that? We recommend restaurants. We recommend books to read and movies to watch and music to listen to. Do we recommend to anyone our religion? You ever thought of that? That's what I want us to talk about this morning. Can you and I, in all good conscience, recommend our religion to someone else? We just sang in our songbook to ring out the message, "True and glad, for the sinful and the sad." Can we recommend our religion to those who are lost? Can we? Do we? Will we? I want us to consider this morning the importance of telling others about who we are as a Christian. In the scripture reading in Acts chapter 26, when Paul was before Agrippa there in verses 28 and 29, that's the well-known statement of Agrippa, "Almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian." And then look at what Paul said to him. "Whether with little or with much, I would that you and all who hear me," listen to this, "become such as I am." I want you to be what I am. Was he not recommending to Agrippa and others that they become like him and be a Christian? That's exactly what he was doing. I want to encourage us this morning to be doing the same to those around us. Our friends, co-workers, classmates, neighbors, those with whom we have contact, our own friends and family. Become such as I am. Be what I am. Be a part of what I am a part of. I want us to consider this morning the idea and the importance of recommending our religion to others around us. Before we look at the details of that, I want us to read four passages this morning without much comment, and I want you to tell me what they all have in common. Just think about that. Keep it to yourself. And as we read these four Bible passages, I want you to tell me what they have in common. In Numbers chapter 10, when the Israelites are leaving Mount Sinai, they've been given the law there for about a year, and now it's time to go through the wilderness wandering on the way to Canaan land, we find something that Moses says to his father-in-law. Numbers chapter 10, verse 29. Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, "We are journeying unto the place of which Jehovah said, I will give it to you, to Canaan land. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For Jehovah hath spoken good concerning Israel. Come go with us. Turn with me to Psalm 66 and verse 16. Psalm 66 and verse 16. Come and hear, all you that fear God, and I will declare what He has done for my soul. Come and hear, all you that fear God, and I will declare what He has done for my soul. So Numbers 29, come go with us. We're going to Canaan land. Come go with us. But here in Psalm 66, come and hear, and I will declare what God has done for my soul. Turn with me to John 1 and verse 46 on this occasion in which Jesus begins to call His disciples. And He'd been talking with Peter and how his name will be changed and how he will be a different person. John 1 and verse 46. Let's back up to verse 44. Now Philip was from Bethsaida of the city of Andrew, and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael and said to him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, Come and see. Come, go with us. We're going to Canaan land. Come, I want to tell you what the Lord has done for me. And come and see Jesus. And then turn with me to John 4, verse 29. What do these passages have in common? Jesus had been talking with the woman at the well in John chapter 4. And she leaves. Verse 27, And upon this came His disciples, and they marveled that He was speaking with a woman. Yet no man said, why speakest thou with her? So the woman left her water pot and went away into the city and said to the people, Come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Can this be the Christ? And if you read the rest of the chapter there, starting in verse 39, when they come, they believe on Jesus too. Come, go with us. Come and see. I want to tell you what the Lord has done for me. Come and see Jesus. Come see a man who's told me all things. What do these passages have in common? Interested individuals who are excited about what they know and what they have, and they want others to be a part of that. And you can see the enthusiasm exuding from them. You can see the interest. You can see their desire for other people to have the same thing that they are having. Are they not recommending to those around them to come and be a part of what is important in their life? Recommendations. We recommend food and restaurants and movies and music and books and jobs and all kinds of things. Do we ever recommend our religion to somebody else? I am told that there are about 4,200 major religions in the world. 4,200. And then among those, there are a multitude of sects and divisions and subgroups of those main groups. And so you're looking at thousands of religions. I would say that most, or if not all of them, are telling others about their religion. They're saying, come be a part of this particular group. That's a lot of voices. That's a lot of recommendations. That's a lot of things being said. Are we in that group? Are we among that where we are recommending to people to be New Testament Christians? Currently, there are about 7.6 billion people in the world. And about 2.1 billion of them claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. 2.1 billion of the 7.6 billion claim to be some part of a Christian group. And what's interesting about that is a very small percent of that 7.6 billion are atheists and unbelievers. A very small percentage of that. The vast majority of people in the world are religious in some way. They're a part of some religious group. And 2.1 billion claim to be a part of Christianity. Everybody else, Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, and Buddhism, and all the other different religions. That's a lot of people. It's a lot of religions. It's a lot of recommendations. There's a lot of people saying a lot of things about come be a part of my religious group. Are we in among that saying the truth of what needs to be said about being a simple New Testament Christian? The question I want to ask this morning is, can you recommend your religion? When it comes to looking at what we do as members of the church, I believe we can honestly recommend our religion by turning to the New Testament. I believe that there's no question in that. I believe this morning that we are on safe and biblical and truthful ground when we say to somebody else, for example, we say, you need to have, as far as a religious name, you need to have a name that is in the New Testament. And when we say to people about our name and our organization and our work and our worship and the plan of salvation, we clearly can come down on the side of the New Testament teaching. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. And I believe honestly that we do very well at saying we are a part of that. We want to match up with that that is found in the New Testament. For example, we call ourselves Christians. That's all they did in the New Testament. Acts 11:26. Local churches were described as churches of Christ, Romans 16:16. There was an organization in which there were, each local church had elders and deacons, Philippians 1:1. There was a worship that existed on a weekly basis on the first day of the week, Sunday. There was the preaching of the gospel. There was singing. There was the Lord's Supper. There was giving. There were prayers. All of that matches up with the scriptures that we can find in the New Testament. There was a work that was done, and it didn't involve social and recreational things. It involved the preaching of the gospel. And in some cases, it involved being benevolent toward those saints who were needy. And that matches up with the scripture. When we preach the plan of salvation to people, we don't want to alter that at all. We preach exactly what Jesus said, for example, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:15-16. I believe we can recommend our religion, and often do, by what is specifically stated in the New Testament. But this morning, I want to look at something else. This morning, I want to ask five other questions or make five other points that don't deal with turning to the New Testament scriptures to show that we are a New Testament church. I want to ask the question this morning, can you recommend your religion by looking at some other things other than the New Testament? For example, can you recommend your religion by what you tell others about it? Do you tell people in Clarksville about the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ? Or if you're visiting here this morning and you're a member of a local church somewhere else, do you ever tell anybody about that? We tell people about restaurants. Do we tell them about the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ? We tell them about a summer movie that we saw, or a new pop hit song on the radio that has a really neat beat, or we picked up a book at Books A Million and it's on the New York Times bestseller list and I just can't put it down. You need to pick that. Do we ever say, Let me tell you about the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. Can you recommend your religion by what you tell others about it? In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, the first century Christians, the text says that they were scattered everywhere. They went everywhere preaching the word. When was the last time you or I recommended our religion to somebody? In Acts chapter 9 and verse 20, when Saul of Tarsus was converted, the text says that he immediately in the synagogue preached that Jesus was the Son of God. He did a 180-degree turn and he went to persecute Jesus, and he ends up being converted, and now he's preaching Jesus, and the text says that he immediately did that. I immediately want to tell others about Jesus Christ. We've already looked at Acts 26 and verse 29, where Paul said later to Agrippa, I wish that you would become just like I am. Have we ever said that to anybody who needs to become a Christian or a member of a New Testament church? Would you just become like I am? That's not arrogant. That's not haughty. That's not self-centered. That's saying, I want you to have the very thing I have. Moses said to his father-in-law, come go with us. I mean, we're going to Canaan land. You can see the excitement there. Well, brethren, aren't we going to heaven? Why not say to somebody, hey, come go with us. Can we recommend our religion by what we tell others about it? Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13, it's a great principle. He said, I believe, therefore I speak. You think about that. Do we really believe? Do we really believe in God and Jesus as the Son of God and the Bible as the Word of God? If we really believe that, it's going to drive us to speak about it. Colossians 4 and verse 6, we will have words that are seasoned with salt so that we know how to answer those who are around us. And that is a language and a conversation seasoned with salt. It's not bland. It's flavorful, and so a language that is flavorful, that is exciting, that is enthusiastic about telling others of the right way. And when someone asks us of the reason of the hope that is within us, and do we have a hope in us? Is there a hope in us? Of course there's a hope in us. The hope of heaven, it's in us. Now with some, it's left. But if the hope is still in us, Peter says in 1 Peter 3 and 15, that we're going to be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks a reason of the hope that is within us. Can you recommend your religion by what you tell others about it? Can we tell others about Jesus Christ and about the New Testament church, and in particular about the New Testament church that we're a part of in Clarksville, Tennessee? Can we tell people about that? Sure we can. And we need to be. We sing in our songbooks, into our hands the gospel is given. Christ uses us, brethren, to reach others. Maybe some of you with your work have to make some recommendations. When people come to see Paulo, I'm sure he says, well, you know, I've examined your foot, and let me offer some recommendations here. And those of you who are here this morning, you have different kinds of jobs. You're going to be saying throughout the day, it would be good to do this, it would be good to do that. We're offering recommendations. Put in there Jesus Christ, the New Testament Church, the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. Let's be excited about telling others about the Lord and His church just as much as we would that movie that we saw last week that we really thought was neat. Can you recommend your religion by how excited you are about it? In Acts chapter 8, verse 39, the Ethiopian eunuch, when he was baptized, the text says he went on his way rejoicing. Do you remember what that was like when you first came up out of the waters of baptism? Do you remember what that was like? Can you think back to that day? Can we still have that excitement today? We can. Or has it waned and has it gone away? I can't help but think that the Ethiopian eunuch, when he got down there to Ethiopia, one thing he wanted to say was, you know, I just found Jesus Christ. I find it hard to believe that he got down there and didn't say anything about it. You know who are some of the greatest personal workers? The person who just comes up out of the waters of baptism. Boy, they want to tell people. They want to tell their friends. They want to invite people to VBS. They want to invite people to services. Don't let that grow cold as we get older in life. In Romans 12 and verse 11, we are to be fervent in spirit, not slothful. The sloth at the zoo is that animal that just hangs there and does nothing. Not slothful, but fervent serving the Lord. Are we excited about the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ? Do we say to people, for example, we have great Bible classes and great Bible class teachers. There's a bulletin here. Each week has two really good spiritual articles in it. I've read them. I'd like for you to read them. Come hear our preacher. Come hear one of the Bible classes. Come be a part of one of our worship services. Are we excited about that? We talk to others about what we're excited about. Have you ever seen one of those new fall TV programs where they new series that opens up in the fall and you watched an episode or two and you can't wait to tell, hey, I saw such and such, it's a new sitcom. I love it. I'm following every... What is that? You're excited about something, so you're recommending it. If we're excited about being a Christian and being a member of the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, we're going to mention that to other people. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16? Why was Paul so successful? Because of this basic attitude that was in him. 1 Corinthians 9, 16. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Woe. It's just terrible if I don't do this. And so he did it. We're to have joy in Christ. We're to rejoice in the Lord. And we're not to let that go as we get older. And if we really are happy as a Christian and we're really rejoicing in the Lord, we're going to be excited to tell others about that. Can you recommend your religion by how excited you are about it? Can you imagine if you somehow in the conversation that you were having with somebody, the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ came up somehow, and the person is wanting to know some more about that, and you're like, well, you know, I go. It's okay. And you know, the preaching's okay. And the Bible classes, they're not bad. I can get a thing or two from time to time. Sometimes I go, sometimes I don't. The person's going, what kind of a group are you a part of? They're not going to want to come. They're not going to want to be a New Testament Christian. And then one other area of excitement, turn with me to Jude verse 22. Not only excited about being a Christian and being a member of the Lord's church and being excited about sharing the gospel with others, but look at this with regard to excitement. Look at Jude 22 and 23. We are to snatch people out of the fires of hell. They're headed toward the fires of hell, and Jude says, snatching them out of the fire. We need to get excited about that because we just sang in our songbook. Ring out the message. There are those who are headed toward eternal destruction, and we need to snatch them out of that fire. We need to have excitement that we want to save the lost around us. And how terrible that place of eternal fire is. And we don't want any family member or friend to go there. And so we're going to recommend to them to be a faithful Christian before it's too late. Can you recommend your religion by how excited you are about it? Can you recommend your religion by how actively involved and supportive you are in it? You know, our personal involvement and activity and support is directly proportional to how successful we are in telling others about that. If we're not supportive of the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ and intimately active in it, it's going to be difficult to tell other people about it. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. All of us, all different ages, different talents. We have different talents. We cannot all do the same thing. Different ages, different things. But we all need to be doing something in the local church of which we are a member. Paul says that all of the body fitly framed, knit together through that which every joint supplies. Underscore that in your Bible. What are you supplying? What am I supplying? That which every joint supplies. And there's plenty of work for us to do in this community. What are we volunteering to do? What are we supplying? In Ephesians 4:16, it's us personally. We're not going to delegate that. We're not going to put that off on somebody else. We're not going to say, well, somebody, proxy religion, somebody will do it for me. No, what am I supplying? And then in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7, my support can come in the form of monetary support. Am I giving cheerfully? Or am I giving grudgingly and of necessity? God loves a cheerful giver. Am I supporting the local work monetarily? And number three, Hebrews 10:25, am I supporting the local work with my physical presence in my attendance? Some Christians, some brethren will claim to be a member of a particular local church and you haven't seen them for weeks, maybe even months. How about this? You're having a religious discussion with somebody and you say to them, you know, why don't you come visit with me at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ? And they say to you, well, or maybe you say, come to one of our Bible classes. And they say, well, what are y'all studying? Oh, I hadn't been there for 2 months. I'm not sure what they're studying. They say, well, I don't know what they're studying. I went back in May, but here it is, July the 29th. I haven't been since May. They're going to be thinking, why would I want to attend a group that you don't even attend? I was talking with my neighbor the other day about these kinds of matters, and I was asking him where he went to church, and I was encouraging him, trying to invite him, trying to study with him. And he mentioned a particular church in town that he went to. And I said, so tell me about this church that you attend. He said, well, he said, I hadn't been in a while. He said, back in the spring, they had a barbecue. And my wife and I went, and we really enjoyed that. They had a barbecue. And we were there and talking with some of the people there. But that was back in the spring. I hadn't been since. Well, if he was trying to get me to go to that church, he probably wouldn't be very successful. Because I'm thinking, you don't even go. Can you recommend your religion by how involved and supportive you are? We can never recommend the Bible class if we never attend the Bible class. We can never recommend the worship service if we never attend the worship service. If we never give, if we never are intimately a part of, we can't expect our children to get excited about these things if we're not there ourselves. We're to be zealous of good works, Titus 2 and verse 14. Zealous of good works. Pitch in, roll up our sleeves, ask the elders, what can I do? And be a part of that. And engage. Be involved. Be supportive. That's really the only way to have a happy, true Christian life. But if I'm on the fringe, if I'm just barely there, I'll never be able to honestly recommend that to somebody else. Because they'll see real quick that we're not even involved ourselves. Can you recommend your religion? Can I recommend my religion? By how closely we live by it. If we were trying to recommend to someone to be a follower of Jesus Christ and be a member of the Lord's church, but they saw glaring contradictions in our life, glaring hypocrisies, glaring matters that aren't matching up, where the practice doesn't match the preaching, they're going to say, I don't want to be a part of that. I've known of individuals who are adults and they were never baptized into Christ. They never obeyed the gospel. And I've also known of Christians who have obeyed and fallen away. I've got one in mind, probably just 20 miles from here. And they're making some changes to come back to the Lord, which is great. But I've heard individuals like that say, you need to go down to such and such church. You need to go down there. You need to worship. You need to do this. But they're not doing it themselves. They have enough in their mind and in their training to tell someone to go somewhere, but they won't do it themselves. Well, the problem with that is, people hear that and they're like, well, you're not even doing it yourself, and so why should I do that? Turn with me to Philippians 1 and verse 27. Our manner of life needs to match up with the gospel. If we're not living right as a Christian, if there's some attitude or habit or disposition that is going on in our life that is not matching up with the Word of God, people are wise. They're smart. They can see. They can see that this is not matching up. And so if we're not living closely by the gospel, we're not going to be able to recommend that to others. Paul says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel, that whether I come and see you or be absent, I may hear of your state, that you stand fast in one spirit with one soul, striving for the faith of the gospel. Our life is matching up with that. Paul talks about in Titus 1:16, those who know God, but by their works they deny Him. It's not matching up. We're not going to be able to recommend our religion unless we're living it and being it. Look at Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Titus 2, 7 and 8. Paul tells Timothy, in all things, showing yourself an example of good works. Look at this. In thy doctrine or teaching, uncorruptness. It's got to match the truth of the gospel. The older versions, the next word is gravity. That's not what's holding you to the earth, but seriousness, reverence, respect. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. Now look at it. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of us. We don't need to be living in such a way that it's not matching up with the gospel, because people out in the world are going to see that and they're going to know that. Verse 10, we are to adorn, put on the gospel of God every day that we go out. Turn with me to James chapter 1. We're to have a religion, and the word religion is not used much in the Bible. This is one of a few places where the word religion is actually used. James says, if any man thinketh himself to be religious, while he bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his heart, this man's religion is vain. I'm claiming to be religious, but my speech, I'm saying things I shouldn't say. It's just an empty religion, and I'm not going to be able to recommend that to anybody. You see, our life has to match up closely with the New Testament gospel that we are recommending in order for the recommendation to be heard. James says in chapter 2 and verse 18, show me, I will show you by my works, I'll show you my faith by my works. I believe something, and I'm going to go out and show that in my works. It's matching up. We're to abstain from fleshly lust, 1 Peter 2, verse 12, because people out in the world are watching. We're to love in word and in deed, 1 John 3:17. And then turn with me to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. There were Christians who were severely persecuted toward the end of the first century. And we find, how was it that they were able to be rewarded in heaven after they died? How was that? Well, verse 12, what did they do? Verse 11. They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb. Number two, because of the word of their testimony. And number three, they loved not their life even unto death. They were so serious about their religion that they took it with them all the way to their dying day, even if it meant dying for being a Christian. That's commitment. Can you recommend your religion by how closely you live by it? If we're talking right and dressing right and acting right and thinking right, and we go out and we want to talk with someone about the New Testament gospel, it'll be listened to. But if we're not talking right and dressing right and acting right, the people out in the world are going to know that, and it's not going to match up, and we're not going to be able to recommend Jesus Christ to them. Let's go out and not only be actively involved and supportive of the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, but let us live closely by Jesus Christ. Let us bear His image. Philippians 2:5, let's have His attitude and His mindset. Romans 8:29, let's be conformed to His image. And when we go out each day and we're living as a Christian should live, then we can tell others, be such as I am. You know, that's a heavy-duty statement of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 26 and verse 28. He said to Agrippa, I want you to become just like I am. Stop and think about that. Could you tell somebody that? Or would we need to change something first? Just be just like I am. I believe we can do that. If we need to change something, let's change it. But let's be able to tell somebody, be just like I am. And he said, without these chains. He didn't want them to have the chains. He was in chains. He didn't want them to experience any of that. But everything else, I want you to be just like I am. I'm a Christian, and I want you to be just like I am. What a great statement. Let's live so that we can make that same statement to others. And then last of all, can you recommend your religion by what it does for you? What does your religion do for you? With some, religion is a nuisance. It's some annoying thing that was passed down from their parents and they really don't want to be doing it. For others, their religion is like a parachute. They don't need it at all during life. They just pull the ripcord when there's some emergency. You know, they find out they had cancer or they lose a loved one, then all of a sudden I get religion, I pull the ripcord and I expect God to be there. Religion is a lot of different things for a lot of people. What is it for you? What is it for me? Our Christianity should be such that every day, not on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, every day, 24/7, it is a service to God that we are intimately involved in and that we 100% rely upon for our relationship with God. It's not out here on the fringe. It's not something that's an afterthought. It's not something that's on the back burner. It's not like a cafeteria where it's one of several competing things in my life that are all equal. It is the absolute relationship that gets me through my life. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 23, what did Peter and John do when they had been arrested and put in prison and they're told you can't preach in the name of Jesus, and here's where civil authority must be ignored when we're being told to do things that are contrary to the Word of God. Don't preach in the name of Jesus. They do it. They're put in jail. They're arrested. They're threatened. They're let go. What is the first thing they do? Who is the first group of people that they go see? Chapter 4, verse 23. And being let go, they came to their own company. Underscore that in your Bible. They went to their brethren. They went to their church. They went to other Christians. Do you have a company to go to? And through prayer and being with these faithful brethren, they're strengthened and they go right back out preaching the Word of God again. Their religion to them was something that sustained them. It's an integral part of their life. It's a family. Look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Does your religion transform you every day? Things in our life that need to be changed a little bit. Be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do the sermons and the Bible studies and the daily Bible readings, does that transform your mind to make you a better person every day? Look at Colossians 1, 27 and 28. Do we get up every day trying to become more like Christ? You see, our religion is not just something we put on like clothes and take them off when we get home. Our religion is 24/7. And look at Colossians 1. We're trying to be Christ-like and more Christ-like each and every day. Paul preached Colossians 1, 27. He made known God, the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is in me every day. That's my religion. It's not just something I put on and take off twice on Sunday and Wednesday night. But Christ is in me. And then look at verse 28. This is a great goal. Paul said that he was preaching, admonishing every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. Look at this. That we may present every man perfect in Christ. That's not talking about sinless. It's talking about complete and mature. Is that how we approach our Christianity? Every day I'm becoming more and more complete and mature in Christ. 2 Timothy 3:16, the Scripture is there to correct me and reprove me and teach me and instruct me in righteousness. The Bible is not just something that sits over there and collects dust, but every day it's my guide. Look at Hebrews 4:16. Do I come to the throne of grace and receive grace, the throne of God in time of need, to receive grace and help? Or is prayer just sort of a have-to or an afterthought, or I might say something quickly here? Is it really something where I throw myself at that throne of grace to receive help in time of need? If you were to try to recommend your religion to somebody, would they see in you that it is your all? Everything about prayer and your Bible and Jesus Christ and the worship service, it's your all. Or is it something that's sort of peripheral out here on the edge of your life, and people see that and they're like, well, I don't want to be a part of that. God will take care of us, Hebrews 13, verse 5. And He warns against materialism and the love of money and just material things. God will take care of us. Do we really believe that? And can we cast our cares on Him, 1 Peter 5, 7? Or do we turn to other things? But when we have cares, do we cast them upon God and rely upon God? Or do we not have God for that in our life? What your religion does for you and what my religion does for me says a lot. And when it is the absolute center of our life, then we can tell others about it and they will listen. Can you recommend your religion this morning? Do you? Do we ever recommend the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ? Do you recommend the radio program on Saturday mornings? Do you recommend the bulletin to somebody to read, hand it to them? Do you recommend the Bible classes and come hear the preaching and come be a part of a New Testament worship? Not just can you, but do you? Do I? I want to encourage us. Will you? Will I? Let's be like Moses. Come go with us. Let's be like the psalmist. Come, let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. Let's be like Andrew and Philip and those who called others. And when they're questioned, come and see. Let's be like that woman at the well who was excited about what Jesus had told her. Come see a man who told me all things ever I did. And when they showed up, they believed also. Can you recommend your religion? Can I do the same? Something to think about. In all of the recommendations that we give throughout the day and throughout the week, let's make sure that our religion is at the top of the list. If you're here this morning and you need to be baptized into Christ, let me encourage you to do that. It would be difficult to invite others to go to heaven if you're not on that road yourself. And so we would encourage you to come and put on Christ in baptism. And if you've fallen away in some way, we would encourage you to come back. It's hard to tell people to go to heaven if we're not on that road ourselves. If you're on that road this morning, let me encourage you to stay on it. Keep being faithful. Keep serving the Lord as you're doing. And keep being right and tell others about the Lord. Say, come be a part of what we are a part of. If we can help you in some way to make your life right with God, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?